Hello and welcome to episode 52 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're new here, then a very warm welcome. And if you're back for another episode, then thank you for coming back and joining me for today. My name is Steph Caswell. I'm a multi-published author and I am on a mission as a writing coach to help take away the overwhelm, the confusion, the terror that can sometimes be the case when you're writing a book, and to give you a simple, straightforward guide to how to write a book successfully in your niche, and also how to do it with confidence and with clarity, and to, I guess, bring some ease and simplicity into the process. And that's why I do this podcast. It's why I do the work I do with authors in a one-to-one capacity or in a group capacity, in my workshops, through my books. It's all there to help you, and I hope you get so much from today's conversation. It's about self-editing today, and I hope that it's going to give you what you need when you have finished your first draft and you're looking to think, right, do I send this off to an editor? What do I do next? How can I edit it myself a little bit? We're going to cover all of that today and more, so do enjoy this episode. Before I crack on with the episode, though, I just want to remind you, you can come and join me on Substack at my free newsletter, The Right Stuff. It's at stephcaswell.substack.com, and in that I share with you publishing ideas, writing ideas and advice and news and all things that I think will be helping you on your writing journey. So if you are not yet over there and you haven't yet joined the newsletter, it's free. You can do that right now by going to stephcaswell.substack.com. And also don't forget, there is my book Dare to Write, which takes you all the way beautifully from your initial idea for your book, all the way through how to write it, how to get the structure down, how to get your first draft written, how to start editing it, how to get about launching it and all that sort of thing. It covers the whole process, and it was a finalist in the 2023 Business Book Awards. So you can be sure that it's full of good stuff, good material to help you. And you can find that on Amazon, or even better, you can buy it directly from my website, stephcaswell.com/shop. And I hope you enjoy that, because it is one of my favourite books that I've ever written. And I know from the feedback I've had, the reviews that it's had, that people find it really, really helpful. So go and check it out if you are just starting out on this journey. But enough of all of that. Let us crack on with the episode about self-editing. And you will hopefully, at the end of it, come away feeling as though you know what to do once your first draft is finished. And it might not even be your first draft you're thinking about. It could be something like a newsletter you're producing, or it could be another book that you're producing. It might even be a really good article or a blog post. Self-editing is important whatever you're writing, in whatever way, for whoever you're writing it for, whichever medium you're using. It's really, really powerful to understand the power of self-editing. And I'm going to share with you the process that I use when I'm self-editing so that you can come away feeling confident to give it a bash yourself. I want to start with a little story to emphasize the importance of self-editing, because it's such an interesting way of looking at it. And it's a story I share in Dare to Write, but I'm going to share it with you here too. When I was a deputy, I worked for a wonderful head teacher called Sarah. And Sarah is an incredible human. She's one of my closest friends, and I always look back on my time with working for her as something that was really special. But the one thing I loved a lot about Sarah is how she had a lot of consideration for others. So an example of this would be when we were in our leadership meetings, Sarah quite often would be ringing her husband to tell him, you know, the cleaner's on her way, can you make sure that the house is tidy and clean? And I used to smile at this, because I was under the assumption, if you have a cleaner, then you don't need to do so much cleaning yourself. But Sarah was so thoughtful that she would always want to clean before the cleaner came. And it used to tickle me, because I used to just imagine her husband or Sarah herself really rushing around, tidying up, hoovering, cleaning for the cleaner. And I liken this example to editing. Editing your book before you send it to an editor is an example of cleaning before the cleaner comes. And I hope that you can understand this rather silly comparison, but hopefully you will understand why it's important. Because for Sarah, she wanted to make sure that the cleaner had a a decent experience, shall we say, of cleaning her house. And maybe, you know, she was going into more depth of cleaning the cleaner. Sarah was doing a surface clean. Now, I'm going to say to you that that is what self-editing is like. It's like a surface clean. You are going into your manuscript and you're doing the self-edit before you send it to an editor. And this is not an instead of an editor thing. I am absolutely adamant that if you are going to write a book, be it traditionally or self-published or hybrid, you need an editor. Now, obviously, if you're going to be with a publishing house, you will have an editor. That goes without saying. If you are hybrid publishing, you will have an editor. That is also a given. But if you are self-publishing, sometimes people think that they don't need an editor. If they know a friend who's quite good at checking stuff, that's enough. And I'm going to plead with you now. If you are self-publishing, if you are going down the independent route, for the love of all that is holy, you need an editor. But that's not today's conversation. Today's conversation is, what can you do before you send your book to an editor to make it in the best shape possible? Not only because an editor, a professional editor, will not edit a first draft. They just won't do it, right? They will edit something that has already had some work done to it by the author themselves. Now, everyone's level of understanding of how to edit is different, okay? So, and a professional editor will understand that. But you cannot send to a copy editor your first draft. You can't really send your first draft to a structural editor, somebody like me who does developmental editing. I look at the whole structure. I think that it's worth saying that at this point, you doing this is going to make the experience better for you, for your reader, but also for your professional editor. So don't go into this thinking, oh, I've written this now. I'm not going to look at it. I'm just going to send it off. They will send it back to you. I'm just telling you that now. So you need to really have a good grasp of what self-editing is. And I've got some tips for you today so that you can go away and think, okay, I'm going to do the best I can in the self-editing capacity. Then I'm going to send it to my professional editor. It's absolutely crucial. Plus, it can also reduce the costs of professional editing. The less work, shall we say, a professional editor has to do, the less you're going to be charged. Okay, if we're going to get down to the brass tacks of it. And that might not matter to you, but it does matter to other people who have a budget. So just bear that in mind. Not only that, but self-editing can help you develop your skills as a writer. It can help you get better at writing in other elements of your business. And as I said to you in the introduction, this is a self-editing as it can be helpful for long content. It can be helpful, yes, for books. It can be helpful for social media posts, right? The better you become at being critical of your work in a obviously helpful way, it can really improve your writing across the board. And it can make you feel like you're able to explain things in a far better way than maybe you thought you could. So it's not just about, you know, making it nice for your editor or your reader. It's actually improving your skills too. So let's go through the stages. The first stage, and I'm going to tell you, these are the stages I go through. So they're not stages that I'm saying to you to do it and then I do something completely different. These are the stages that I go through. So I finish my first draft. And first and foremost, I give myself time away from my manuscript. And I would suggest 2 to 3 weeks away. Now, people can get a bit twitchy about this. They can feel as though they don't want to. They just want to plow on. They just want to get on with this self-editing. They want to get it to their editor. And I get that. I do. But you will be surprised at how much things can improve if you take the time away. Because when you've been writing your first draft, you have been spending months and months putting this thing together. And to dive straight into editing means you don't give yourself the space away from it. You need to take a step back. You need to let it settle. If you imagine it's like a piece of roast beef and you cook it and then you bring it out and you let it rest and it continues to cook and do its thing and be delicious because of it, right? If you imagine that you doing this self-editing step back thing is a little bit like letting your meat settle and rest, this is probably a very good analogy, unless you're a vegetarian, and I apologize, but if you imagine that that is what we're aiming for, space to let it do its thing. And when I say that, I mean in your brain do its thing. You need to let your brain have time away from it. So that's my first step. Always take 2 to 3 weeks away and then I come back. I then look at it in a very readery way. So the second step is I read the whole thing. I read the whole thing. Now, it's very difficult not to start editing straight away and tweaking and making changes there and then. But I like to get to know the book first. I like to sort of immerse myself in the book and let it sort of just wash over me. So I can kind of read it, and I'm just reading it and thinking, okay, how do I feel about this book? How is it working? And then I can start thinking about, okay, this section, maybe not. And I always have a notebook next to me and I jot down things. I don't amend the manuscript itself. I just jot things down that come to me. I like to read the whole thing because often we've written it over weeks and months, and the bit that you wrote like 2 months ago, you won't remember particularly well. So you'll want to reread the whole thing to get a flavour of how it's going. So that's step number two. So take the step back, read the whole thing as a reader. Those are the first two steps. Your third step then is kind of where we're really getting into it now. And this is my job as a structural editor, as someone who looks at the structure as a whole. And I'm telling you this stage as an expert in this area. So structure is one of my expertise. So when you look at the overall structure, you don't start tweaking sentences and, you know, you realize you've repeated a word or you've spelt something wrong or you've got a bit of grammar error. That this isn't the time for that, okay? And it can be hard to differentiate between those two types of editing in your head. But the first and most important thing is the structure. How well have you put this together? Does it flow? Does it go from A to B in the best way it can? Or are there areas that you think to yourself, do you know what, I've waffled on a bit here, or this bit maybe isn't actually necessary? And you will have heard me say, if you've listened to this podcast before, that your first draft is you telling yourself the book. Okay, that comes from a Terry Pratchett quote, which is your novel, your first draft of your novel is you telling yourself the story. And this is very much the nonfiction equivalent, which is you getting to know your book. So you will have, and I always encourage people to do this, you'll have vomited your words out in the first draft. You will have just shared everything you want to. And that's the joy of a first draft. You can just take the time to put everything you could possibly want to say out on paper. And now you can take that step back and think to yourself, right, what part of this isn't actually necessary anymore? Have I gone off on a tangent? Am I delivering what I promised to the reader in the introduction? And your reader promise is so important. You've said to your reader this is going to be the case. You know, if they read this book by the end of it, they're going to feel like this, they're going to know this, they're going to have this particular transformation, whatever your book is about. When you're reading it, have you delivered on that promise? Because if you haven't, the reader's going to have a very jarring experience. So it's really key to look at the flow. If this was a coaching session, what's the outcome of this particular book? What do you want the outcome to be for the reader? Have you delivered on that outcome? Have you given them everything you possibly could in a way that makes sense? And if you were talking something through in a coaching session, has your book followed this particular structure? How you would structure it if you were talking to somebody about this? So structure is absolutely key. And I can be very guilty as an author of going off on a tangent. Quite often it will be around a subject that I really love writing about, and a particular chapter will be longer than the others. That's the other thing to watch out for. Are the chapters structured in the same way? Are they a similar length? Because chapters that are super long are really weird for the reader. They're really weird because they're expecting it. Their expectations are that everything is pretty much the same throughout the book. And if you start having really long chapters, really short chapters, it can just be a bit jarring. So really focus on chapter length, chapter structure, and the overall flow from A to B. You've then got content editing. So this is where you're really looking at the accuracy and the relevance of the content within each chapter. And sometimes when we're experts, we can really go into detail about things, and you have to keep reminding yourself, is this pertinent to the reader? Is this relevant? Because if it isn't, then you need to start cutting sections out. And this can be hard. And I just encourage you to keep the reader in mind at all times, particularly if your book has a sciencey kind of background to it. Like if it's really sciencey, if you're talking about neuroscience, or you're talking about, you know, something that is backed by a particular theory, and you maybe have you overshared. Yes, you need to give the reader the pertinent points of the theory and the research. But have you gone in too heavy? That's the thing. Look at the content critically. what's absolutely essential for them and then anything else, cut it out, because you'll lose them. As soon as you get too technical, too sciencey, too jargony, they lose interest. So, you know, you've got to really be harsh and start cutting out content that isn't relevant. This is also the time to think about the stories, the case studies you're using. It might have decided that in the first draft, you kind of had an idea for a case study. Now's the time to sort of start thinking about, okay, how can you flesh it out? Do you need to approach people to request permission? You know, this is the time to really think about the content in terms of story, in terms of, you know, the action steps that maybe I always encourage people to have in there, like actual exercises people can go and do, be it something in their journal, be it something that helps them build their business, be it something that is, can go meditate, whatever it is. Have you got enough of those in? Have you got enough practical stuff in there people can take away and feel like they've made progress? So once you've done the look at the structure and you've looked at the content, now's the time to get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty and start to look at the copy editing and the proofreading. Now, copy editing is the main kind of editing that people will go for when it comes to book writing. This is a great opportunity to look at the finer points and to read and make sure that your writing is concise. Is there a sentence where you've kind of gone a bit waffly and fluffy? How could you make it more concise? How could you tighten it up? How could you trim the fat, as a copywriting friend of mine used to say? Look at a paragraph. Could you trim out 10 or 20% of it by being more concise with your word choice? This is where AI can really be helpful. You can copy and paste something into it and say, could you make this more concise? Could you summarize this in a way that gets the meaning across, but in a better way? And that's where these sorts of AI tools for editing can really be helpful. And they do not, and I'm going to say this very clearly, they do not replace a human professional editor. They certainly help a heck of a lot if this isn't your thing. If grammar, if sentence structure, if all of that is something that you feel like, actually, that's not my bag, I don't know how to do this, then ask AI to help you. But just really try hard to read it through. And again, think of the reader, think to yourself, okay, how can I explain this in a very clear, simple, concise, punchy way that's going to get my message across but isn't going to leave them reaching for the snooze button? And then once you've got through those edits, look at the proofreading. You can ask someone that you know, a friend of yours, to read it through just for proofreading's sake. They can pick out the, if you've missed a comma, or if you've got repetitive word choice, you've missed a word, you've got omissions, you've forgotten to put an apostrophe, whatever it is, those sorts of things come right at the end. But as I say, this is just getting your manuscript ready for a professional. So don't go like all in and think, oh my God, I need to make it grammatically perfect. That's what an editor and a proofreader, a professional one, will do. Once you're at the point where you've done as much as you can with it, don't then send it to your editor yet. I would say this is the point in which you approach your beta readers, the people who are going to have the first read through, because there's no point sending something to a copy editor when maybe you're going to change the structure. You want it to be structurally sound before you send it to a copy editor. So now's the time to get 4, 5, 6 beta readers to read it through. Does it flow for them? You know, is there anything you've missed out? Could this be explained better? Get loads of feedback, make any changes. And then once you're happy, once structurally it's sound and you've done enough of your own self-editing, then send it to a professional editor and you will have the better experience for doing that. Do not wait to send it to beta readers after the copy edit by a professional. So that they're the kind of stages that I go through, that most people will go through when they're writing. And, you know, it's really worth taking the time to do each of those stages if you want your book to be the best it can be, which you do. Of course you do. You're a professional. You're someone who's taking this whole thing seriously. You're not putting out just any old crap. This is something that is going to define your brand. It's going to help raise your profile. It's going to help you be seen as an authority, as an expert. You have to make it as brilliant as you possibly can. Before we finish, let me just say a couple of other bits to you around this. You need to read your work aloud. Like, you need to read it aloud, like particularly when you're in the copy editing phase, the proofreading phase. Read it out loud. You will begin to hate the sound of your own voice, but it's crucial to help you pick out errors and to hear how it sounds and the flow of a sentence. I always edit on paper. I print out my manuscript and I edit on paper. If this doesn't feel right to you and you know, you don't have the budget, or environmentally that's not your bag, then I completely understand. But one thing I would say to you is, to make it easier, when you're going through each phase of editing, I would change the font on the screen. So choose a different font. Obviously, when you send it to a professional, you'll have a standard font of Garamond or whatever it is. But I would say to you, change the font each time because it just helps your brain to see it differently, and that can really be helpful. It might be that you change the font color, but changing the style of font has a big impact, evidently. I've not done it too much, but I do know that it, when I have, it's made a big difference to how I see the manuscript. And finally, there will be a point where you have edited enough. It's that whole good enough thing. Because again, if you keep editing and keep tweaking and keep making changes, sometimes it's procrastination and self-doubt and fear. And actually just edit it as best you can and then think to yourself, okay, this is as good as I can get it. I'm going to send it off to somebody. And then you will keep making those steps of progress towards publication. Otherwise, you can quite easily get lost in the depths of self-editing. I hope you found today's episode helpful. Self-editing is something that you will get better at with practice. Follow the steps that I've outlined in today's episode, and hopefully you will see that it's a really helpful process for you, the writer, but also just generally, because when you are writing longer content, for example, you can go through a similar type of process to make sure that you're producing stuff regularly, which is really well written. I just feel that it's worth pointing out, please send your work to a professional. You might have to wait a bit longer and save up or put some money aside for it, but it's so worth it. A professional editor will make your book incredible. They will work with you to, and you will be so surprised at how much better it is because you took the time to work with them. So I urge you, don't think this episode is saying to you, oh, just do these things and get a mate to read it and then you can publish it. Please take the time to work with a professional. I will link to the episode that I did with my editor, Jessica Brown. It's episode 34. I'll link to it in the show notes so you can listen to that as well, because she goes through the process of what a professional editor does really, really well. So you can sort of see again how it works if you are somebody who's doing this for the first time. If you would know anyone else who'd enjoy this episode, please share it with them. I hope that we can help as many people in the Happy Writers community to write their books, to publish their books, and we can celebrate wonderful women writing wonderful books. So, and that will only happen when you share this podcast with people. And if you want to reach out to me, if you want to share any feedback or you want to leave a review, I'd absolutely love it. You can reach me at steph@stephcaswell.com, or you can leave a review wherever you're listening to this. And if you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me Steph Caswell Author, and you can also find me on LinkedIn. But until next time, my love, happy writing.